Alrighty, everybody. Welcome to the Barca Blood Grannis podcast. My name is Josh. We are joined by Emil Avanesian at Hardwood Hype on Twitter. Emil, how are we doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Things have changed, like I just mentioned to you before we started recording, since the last time you and I have talked. I can't remember exactly when you and I chatted. I think it was a little over a month ago. And I'm pretty sure we were both thinking that it was all smoke and mirrors. Barcelona aren't getting anybody. They're just playing games.
Yeah.
Since then, they have signed Rafinha, Robert Lewandowski, Andreas Christensen. Apparently, as of this morning, excuse me for the pronunciation, Jules Koundé, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's apparently flying in for a medical, I think, according to Fabrizio, if I'm remembering correctly. So I guess we're getting him now, too. Yeah. And then also, Dave Azpilicueta, like, I think we're just negotiating over, you know, nickels and dimes at this point with Chelsea for him. So he's probably on his way over. Yeah. And we re-signed Ousmane Dembele, who you and I consider one of the best few wingers in the world.
Yes.
What's happening?
Well, I mean, I've said it so many times recently, like, if I never hear the words like economic levers again or financial levers again.
Do you understand the levers? Because I got so tired of hearing about it without understanding it. I actually read about it last week and I kind of get it now. It's the levers of selling your soul.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, look, they put like a weird, and I was always wondering, I'm like, I don't know if it's some kind of like Spanish or Catalan idiom or something, or like if there was just some sort of weird like translation thing, because they're like, we're activating financial levers. I'm like, I don't know, it just sounds like you're selling assets, but like, cool, I guess. But
can it sound that way in like my personal life when I'm having to like sell furniture to play the, like, to pay the mortgage if we go into a recession? Yeah, I mean, just like, I'm activating the lever, honey. I'm selling the master bedroom set, we can afford the mortgage.
I do want to do something like that. Yeah. Cause like, it's great. It makes it sound like so much more kind of intricate and like technical and not just like selling things. But, so yeah, I mean, I guess they sold, was it 25% of TV revenue for 25 years for, I guess, ballpark of like $500 million or something. And then,
so is this like, and again, if you don't know the answer to this, feel free to pass, but I'm just thinking out loud. This feels like some sort of like sugar rush. Like, what's going to happen in 3 years? Like, are we selling our souls for the short-term future or like the 20-year down the line future?
So like, yeah, I go back and forth a lot because like this whole thing just on its face and just as it unfolds, like day to day, moment to moment, just makes me so uncomfortable because it totally feels like, you know, you're tapping the equity in your house to like go buy a watch and, you know, like, or, you know, just to go buy a car and, you know, but a car that you don't absolutely need, you know, that kind of thing. And so I think a little bit, yeah, like it's, you know, Joan Laporta is just like, just on a, he's on a heater, you know, like he's living life and just, you know, balling out. But so I think a little bit, yeah, it is a little bit kind of short-sighted. Like you raise all of this money and immediately proceed to just, you know, fling it all over the place. I mean, I guess there's a couple other, I guess, counter arguments to that, which are the one thing that Laporta has said that I'm actually pretty kind of sympathetic to and makes a lot of sense to me is, you know, he was saying like, you know, football moves very quickly. So if we got bounced unceremoniously from the Champions League last year, you know, we haven't won the league in 3 years.
And the Europa League. Sorry, just had to say that.
Well, and the Europa League. No, I mean, first, like, they got bounced from the Champions League, then the Europa League. And then, and you know, they haven't won the league in 3 years. And, you know, Messi left and Neymar was, you know, kind of the way in which Neymar was stolen, you know, I say stolen, but like kind of, you know, purchased away from the club was like, you know, PSG throwing around, you know, throwing around its weight in a way that Barca just couldn't rival. So I understand that you can't be kind of in the wilderness for too long, even if you are Barca. So I get the, you know, sort of steps had to be taken. Like, you need to kind of consolidate yourself as ideally a quarterfinalist or potentially better in the Champions League, like if that's at all possible. So I get all that. But at the same time, I mean, I think this team, even as is, was, I mean, in my mind, you know, just a lock to return to the Champions League, you know, this coming year, advance out of a Champions League group, and, you know, kind of have another year of consolidation. I guess like the one good thing is like some of those mega contracts that were given out under the Bartomeu regime have either been like the decks have been cleared. So like, you know, Griezmann's gone, Coutinho's gone.
Dembele's contract is different.
Yeah, so they restructured him and he's not costing nearly as much and he's good, you know, like so.
Yeah.
So you don't mind having him around.
The but, one you know, guy that is still under the, and I was going to transition into this. Yeah. So Frankie de Jong still has a pretty big contract that they agreed to sign him to, that they proposed to him. Does it leave a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth that they're spending all this? Again, it's right now it's fake money, right? I'm assuming these are being paid in somewhat installments, but still like big numbers. If you're Frankie, does this leave a bad taste in your mouth that they're trying to nickel and dime you? And now I guess they're... I'm going to have to find my reports from this, but I want to say, Frankie, like there's been reporting the last couple of days that him and Xavi have been talking and that there's optimism that Frankie, quote, understands the situation and is perhaps willing to take a pay cut. I know there's intricate levels to this, and I know that a wage bill is different than a transfer fee, but it's just still weird, just like it was with Dembele last year.
Yeah. I mean, no, if I was Frankie de Jong, I would be pissed just because like, you're just, you've spent, what is that? I mean, I guess like 150 million on three new guys and, you know, you're paying wages and, you know, meanwhile, like anytime it comes to me, every conversation is about just how much money there's not. So like, no, I mean, I would just honestly like, and I understand he's in the prime of his career and like, you know, he doesn't want to just kind of do the, you know, do kind of the petulant thing and collect the money and not play and whatever. But why don't you just be like, no, you guys, listen, it might not have been you personally, Juan, but, you know, the man who, your predecessor, signed me to a legally binding contract and I really like it here. My fiance loves it here. No, I'm not going to Manchester for less money or, you know, sticking around for less money.
I'm not going to Manchester for more money.
Or, you know, or I don't want to go to Manchester for more money and I'm not going to stay here for less. Like, pay your bills, you know, like you guys, like, I mean, I would not, it's infuriated me now for, I guess, the entire time. And it was done to Dembele and now it's being done to De Jong. I mean, it's.
Here's the thing. It sucks. Like, but this, at the same time,
constant,
like,
but this constant like public shaming by, you know, Laporta of, you know, just any player who's unwilling to, you know, basically blog for the exposure for Barca is somehow unwelcome and defiling the crest or something.
And here's the thing. I hate it. Like in 12 months, though, like it's kind of working. Like he's getting what he wants, isn't he?
Oh,
and
yeah,
that sucks.
Listen, like,
but like,
look, it's got to be great to be Juan Laporta.
And here's like, what we talked about. You and I talked about this over and over again with Dembele. Like, isn't this situation going to make players not want to come to Barcelona? We both thought yes, and we were both clearly wrong.
Yeah, and look, I'm happy to be wrong. Like in that sense, like it's much better. To
I can't believe we were wrong though. Like, I cannot believe Robert Lewandowski shoved his way out of Bayern Munich to come to Barcelona. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah. Look, I mean, and I don't know, like the, and part of it, I wonder, look, I mean, obviously there is a lot of prestige in, you know, Barca and Camp Nou and like the history and playing for Xavi and, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, also if you're part of the core that sort of restores Barca to some level of past glory, you will probably be, you know, just revered in this city for a long, long time. So there's a lot of upside in that. And I mean, I do wonder though, like, I mean, it's on some level, I guess, if you're coming into Barca now, you just kind of have to, you have to know what the deal is, right? Like, they're just, when, I don't know, when the winds turn, or if you're not playing well, or, you know, whatever, like the next time like a big debt payment comes due or something, you will be vilified and publicly shamed for having the temerity to accept your paycheck. And, you know, I mean, I guess that's the deal. In exchange, I guess being super rich and living in Barcelona would be pretty sweet. Like, I'm not rich, yeah, and living in Barcelona is pretty awesome. So,
okay, let's switch things to on the pitch a little bit, because it's like a little more. Maybe we're reading the tea leaves of a couple preseason games now. If I had to ask you today, who's your preferred attacking three right now with our myriad of attackers?
I mean, it's tough. I mean,
it's really hard. I thought I knew before the Real Madrid game, and then I watched the Real Madrid game, I watched some of the Juventus game, and now I have a completely different opinion than I had 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say, yes, I mean, three up front. I mean, I'm super partial to Ansu Fati. Now, I don't know if his injury history is going to preclude him from playing out wide. Because I do feel like at some point they're going to have to move him into the middle just to kind of save his legs to a certain extent and keep him from aggravating or picking up new injuries. But if we assume that for the time being, he's, you know, he's basically healthy and good to go on the left, I mean, I'd go Ansu, Lewandowski. God, that third one's tough. I mean, I'd maybe put Dembele there, but, you know, you can just based on the from 1 hour to the next, you could probably talk me into different things. Where are you at with this?
I would have said what you just said before. And then here's the thing. I hadn't watched any Rafinha. I'm not going to lie and say that, like, I'm watching Leeds United, like, scouting, trying, you know, when rumors start coming around. And I'm not going to also pretend that I wasn't completely enamored by one crazy goal. I just think he complements.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah. I think him and Dembele could complement Lewandowski, like, really well. And I'm also... Yeah. I'm also terrified of just expecting Fati's going to be there. And I think, like, what you said about bringing him in towards the middle a little bit more is probably the safe option. That being said, he has moments, like, all the time when he's healthy where you're wowed by him, obviously. Like,
he's the most, like, and I realize you can't be most singular, you know, like, if people want to get pedantic, but he is, I think, the most special talent on this team.
Really? So you would say over Dembele, you would think?
Yeah. I mean, really? And, like, okay. that's not a slight, you know, because, like,
no,
I just think he's that awesome.
How? I just can't believe this is happening. Like, I can't believe that a team that was basically fielding, like, I mean, 12 months ago, right, our front three was basically, like, well, you still had Fati, but it was basically Fati, Depay, and Luke de Jong, right? Like, that was...
Man, like, look, I mean, massive overachiever Luke de Jong. I mean, like, seriously, like
no shade to Luke de Jong.
2021-22 hero Luke de Jong.
But now Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is our backup striker.
Yeah. Like, we're basically begging Memphis to leave.
We can't get him to leave. He wants to stay, but, like... Okay, I guess it has to be wage bill stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because I guess, like, there's... So this is where I'm getting a little bit weird. So, like, yeah, I guess they have to still lower some costs, I guess, on the wage bill to be able to...
I didn't think he was making that much money, though.
Well, see, that's what I also wonder. Like, and look, I'm admittedly a little bit ignorant on this, and I need to kind of learn it a little bit more, but I don't understand how, like, you just raked in this like half a billion and like the, like the, whatever, I don't even know what he's getting in salary, but like the 5 million or 6 million or whatever you're paying to Memphis is going to just sort of flummox the whole thing.
So you actually, you're right on course. So Depay signed in the summer of 2021. While he was initially offered a contract worth, this is from a website called soccersouls.com. Okay. So I have no idea. I have no idea. He was initially offered around 7 million plus add-ons. He then agreed to a 30% salary cut to help register him for the season. So dude hadn't even played a game for them and agreed to a salary cut. So I think he's around five to six million
playing
right
the
now.
Hits, man.
Dude, I mean, Barcelona is way more appealing than I thought it was, because here's the thing. He already took one pay cut, and now he's not even like, he's not even close to a guaranteed starter. He won't start. Unless
he's not even like a rotation player at this point. I mean, like the way they're talking about him.
But like, I guess if he wants to stay, why would you not want Memphis Depay just like as a backup guy if he just wants to hang out and have fun?
Like, I do kind of wonder that sometimes. I'm like,
well, plus you have Fati and Dembele that tend to get hurt. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know why like they're so, I don't know, insistent or adamant about trying to run him out. Like if anything, I mean, he's been a good player, and you know, in the early part of last season, you know, under the really sort of grim like late stage Koeman days, like he was kind of the only fight that they had on the pitch, you know, like he was really like he was gutting some stuff out for them.
Yeah. Okay. Last thing I wanted to hit on before we talk about what you're working on. Jules Koundé, what are we getting with him that you know of? Because it could also be a lead situation. I haven't recognized him play once except for when he was at, you know, like the two.
Yeah. I mean, so that's kind of the thing. I mean, I've done a little bit of like, YouTube sleuthing and like, but, I have to admit, I'm not super smart on what Jules Koundé brings to the table. I mean, just like little bits that I've read and like little bits that I've watched. I mean, it sounds like he is, you know, kind of this, I don't know if like a platonic ideal, but he sounds like he's a pretty ideal center back for what Barca want to do. And I guess he might, I don't know if, you know, I guess he, from what I've read, he would work well in a back three if that is the chosen formation at a point in time. I don't know. I mean, I'm going by like what smart people who know more about this than me
that,
are saying.
Listen, that's how we do this podcast. Totally. That's the only reason I know anything.
Yeah, and I mean, apparently he's really, really good. You know, I mean, it's just,
yeah, like, we snatched him right from Chelsea. Like, I cannot believe that.
Which I'm guessing that also might be why they don't want to, like, they want to make the whole Azpilicueta thing. Which, by the way, like, the whole thing is, like, I find it so strange that Cesar Azpilicueta is, like, the, I don't know, like, he's, like, our last white whale in the transfer market. Like, the great cherry on.
Well, we can't sign any other fullback, so we're just going to go get the other old fullback that is still pretty good.
Yeah. But it's like he's like the holy grail. Like we've done all of this and it's like we refuse to consider any other fullback, but like we need Azpilicueta.
All right. I have one more, and this is a non-football thing that I have to bring up with you that I'm pretty disappointed with you about. And it's regarding a tweet you sent 2 days ago.
Oh dear.
Detroit. I love the teal jerseys because they are retro, not because they are good looking. But I'm still offended by your comment.
due respect, I do apologize, but yeah, I can't get on board with those things. I mean, I love the old red and, you know, the traditional. Like,
those are the best ones. The white,
like
those, yes.
The bad boy eras, yeah.
Yes.
And then even now, I think they look actually really good. I mean, just kind of all through the Billups Ben Wallace days. And like,
here's the thing, red, white, and blue, always a good color palette in America. You know what I'm saying? So like, why wouldn't the teals just be alternatives? I hear you on that. At the same time, seeing Jaden Ivey in a teal jersey got me very excited.
Okay.
And I just don't want you raining on my parade anymore.
I hear that. And also, like, I mean, I do still equate those teal jerseys with sort of peak Grant Hill.
Well, and yeah, when they were showing the highlight video, it was like, that's all they had was Grant Hill, because that's all that happened.
Yeah. And so, like, I loved peak Grant Hill a lot. So for that, I mean, I'll soften my stance on the teal jerseys.
All right. I have to wrap up. Tell us what you're working on before we leave.
So let's see. I am currently working on a La Liga preview. Well, La Liga previews for both Squawka and Urban Pitch. Also for Urban Pitch, I'm probably going to be doing a sort of a look at good, bad, and ugly, you know, new shirts and kits that are getting rolled out for this season.
Where does the gold fit?
The Barcelona?
Yeah.
I'm partial to the map of Barcelona that's like kind of in there. I'm saying good.
I am too. It took me a minute, but I'm actually kind of, I actually kind of like them.
I kind of had the same experience with the home shirts too. They struck me as very strange, just like the shoulder panels and then the front and back being so distinctly different.
Yeah, as long as you put the Manchester City black and red in the bad category, because one, it looks like Atlanta United. Two, I understand that there's industrial roots of Manchester that are red. Manchester's also red because of your rival, and they just took the color, and it looks horrible.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I can't imagine. Wasn't that the whole thing? It's like Barca will never, you know. Well, now they have the third kit this year, right? Like with the red and blue cross. Like,
well, the fifth lever is they're just going to release a Real Madrid kit that has a Barcelona patch just like stamped on it.
Right? Because like, well, didn't they? That's white, right? Because I saw one that kind of looked gray. I was like, oh, maybe they shied away from, you know, just going with a white shirt, which that's like a sacrilege, right?
I think it is. All right. Well,
and so one other thing, actually, I wanted to tell you, I actually just turned in for the September issue of the Blizzard another piece. I basically got weird and wrote like the concept was described as experimental, and it's a few thousand words on Dani Alves, and I kind of got weird with it. So I'm, when that comes out, I will definitely pass it along. And
it wouldn't be a proper Dani Alves article if it wasn't weird. So
it has to be weird. Yeah. I mean, and I kind of, you know, we can go after this, but this is what the realization that I came to as I was doing this kind of deep diving into, like, I mean, real minutia in his career and everything like that was like, there's a weird thing. Okay, so Messi is almost like by default every like Barca fan of this generation's favorite player. The same way, like, it was like, okay, fine, Magic Johnson was your favorite Laker from the 80s. But then it's like, you kind of had your own guy. Like, I was a Byron Scott guy and whatever. And I feel like Dani Alves, I might have just realized that I think he's my favorite player that almost has ever lived. Like, there is no, like, there's almost like no limit to the amount of joy it brings me to watch that guy play or celebrate or just kind of like goof off with teammates.
No, I feel that. All right, well, we're looking forward to reading that. Emil, you joined us on short notice. I appreciate that, and I'm looking forward to watching our team that is now fun again.
I know, on the pitch it's gonna be great. Like, I don't know how it all works in the ledgers, but on the pitch it's awesome.
We don't need to worry about that. All right, Amir.
No, we don't.
Talk soon.
Take care.